Let's turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 to 4, and we'll just focus particularly on verse number 1. Hebrews chapter number 2, verses 1 through to 4. The Bible says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will." In the book of Hebrews, there's three main groups of people. There are true believers, professing believers, and those that just right out reject the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in any given point of the book of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul could be addressing either one of the three categories of these people. The reality was, for the Hebrew people, they were going through much persecution. Those that have come out of Judaism into Christianity were coming across a lot of persecution in the early church. And they were basically at a crossroads whether they would actually go back to the law or they would actually make a full commitment to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So many of these people were at the crossroads of an apostasy, should I say. They came into the church, they were amongst the New Testament believers. Many of them looked the part, spoke the part, acted the part. But the reality was, when the persecution came, they had a crossroad decision to make. Would they follow Christ or would they turn their back and forsake the Lord and go to Judaism? Only indicating that they never truly knew him. We know the Bible teaches that a true believer does not apostatize. They are known as ones that hold fast to the profession of their faith. They are known as those that keep in memory, as Paul said, that which I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. In 1 Corinthians 15, he says that. So there are those that believe in vain, and therefore they don't keep holding fast to the truths of the gospel, and therefore they are in danger of apostatizing and turning their back on the faith, and I guess not having a chance again to turn to the Lord. That would be the end for them. But here, in the midst of this challenge to believe these apostates, we see a principle found in the Word of God, specifically in verse number 1, which I want to touch on today. But before we look at verse number 1, I'll just give you a little bit of a background to verse 2, 3, and 4. So in verse 2, he's saying, well, if the word that was spoken by the angels was steadfast, talking about the law, which was mediated by angels to Moses. If you look at that in the book of, I believe in Galatians, it talks about that. But the idea is there, if that word which was the law, and people didn't obey the law of God, they received a just recompense of their reward. They were judged and punished for not obeying the law of God. How much more those that tread upon the Son of God? How much more those that reject the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? How much more those who neglect so great a salvation? Those that simply just ignore and are careless towards the work of salvation. If they were careless towards the law, they would receive punishment. Many were stoned to death because of their carelessness because of the law. But how much more those that are careless towards the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? He's saying, if the word of those of God mediated by angels was steadfast, how much more the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? So he gives it as a warning to them. And in verse number 1, then he charges these Hebrews. He says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." And here is a universal truth. I'll give you an example of another universal truth in the Bible. The Bible teaches, "For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." That's a universal truth. The context of that truth is in the book of Galatians, talking about those that sow to the flesh, which is the works, law works salvation, and those that sow to the Spirit, which is salvation by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the two things that are presented there, law works and faith, okay? But the principle, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap, we can apply that to any aspect of our life, in the Christian life or in any aspect, okay? Same thing here. Verse 1 is a universal principle. Look what it says here. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. It's a universal principle about the importance of truth. the importance of truth. He says here, we need to give the earnest heed to the things which we have heard. We've heard the truth. We've heard the gospel, and that goes for all other truth. And we need to make sure that we give diligence and earnest heed to it, lest we let the truth slip. Okay? And we're going to explain that a little bit more. The truth is so important. The Bible upholds truth. The Word of God is truth. The Bible talks about sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John chapter 17, verse 17. God's word sanctifies. It's set apart. It cleanses. Jesus said, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. David said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed there according to thy word. The word of God has cleansing power. The word of God sanctifies. The word of God sets free. The truth sets free. Amen. It says that, if you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, shall set you free. The Bible exalts truth highly. Even God exalts his word above his very name. So then the principle applied to truth is to ask that, how do we treat truth? Because here he says that we need to give the more earnest heed to how we treat truth, how we deal with truth that comes our way, whether it's the truth of the gospel, or whether it's the truth of a sermon that you hear on a Wednesday, or on a Sunday, or on a Friday, or a truth that you read in your Bible reading. How do you treat the truth? This is what we're going to consider in this principle here. Look at verse number 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. The word the more earnest heed is simply saying that we ought to super abundantly, okay, give the more earnest heed. The earnest heed is we have to basically hold our minds towards, or make diligence to make sure that our attention is towards the things which we have heard. We ought to give the more earnest heed. How do you treat truth? When the preaching's on, do you give the more earnest heed to the things which you hear? You see, the truth be known, many of us don't apply ourselves to the truth. Our attentions float into oblivion when we're sitting under the truth. But here the Bible says we ought to give the more earnest heed, an abundant heed to the word of God. We are to be engaged. We are to be attentive. We are to be focused. We are simply to hold our minds toward the truth, because our minds tend to wander. So we've got to just hold them towards the truth. Amen. So that's where we've got to keep our minds. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, the word of God. They've heard the word of God. They heard the gospel. They heard the teachings of the apostles. They were under the preaching of the word of God. And he said, you better give the earnest heed to the things which you have heard, lest at any time, peradventure, at some point, we should let them slip. We should let them drift away or just flow by. You know, there's a word picture behind this that is like that of a ship. And the ship comes to the harbor, and usually it turns the engines off and it just floats right to the harbor. And then they get the rope, they pull it in, they tie it up, and it's all anchored safe. And he says, we need to give the more earnest heed, lest that ship of truth just comes past our harbour and just keeps drifting on away, and we miss it. We don't rope it in and tie it down and anchor it to the shore. How do you treat truth? Is truth to you just something that drifts by in your mind or in your life? How do you treat the Word of God? Here the Bible says that we are to give the earnest heed, the more earnest heed, lest at any time, this is a very serious thing, at any time, at any moment, we should allow that ship to pass us by. We ought to be ready with the ropes. Here comes the truth. Quick, throw out the truth. Grab it, tie it up, pull it in, anchor it. How do you treat the truth? I'm afraid that we live in a world and in a country where we have so much access to truth. We have almost every commentary come standard in the English language. Okay, no problem getting a Bible in our day. And no problem hearing good preaching in our day. Many of us get it 3 to 4 times a week. No problem, even if you didn't have a preaching, you can get online and hear some very good sermons from other Bible-believing churches, because they all upload their sermons online. I mean, the truth is accessible, but how do we treat it? How do we give the more earnest heed to it? When we see the ship coming past, do we get excited and rope it in and pull it in and say, I want to make that a part of my life? Or are we just happy to let it go float by and say, oh, maybe one day it'll come back to me? You know, the reality was for these Hebrew Christians, under the sound of the gospel, the truth and ship of the gospel was coming to their harbor. But the reality was that if they would just take it carelessly and not really care about the truth of the gospel, one day it was just going to slip by, never to come past their way again. And so it is, the same principle applies in the Christian life. I believe God visits us with truth and visits us with truth and visits us with truth. But when we neglect and are careless towards it, God just lets it slip by. And you know what happens? We suffer for not obeying the truth. And we say, why, what happened to me? And God says, well, do you remember the ship? I sent it by a few times, but you just let it slip. You know, tonight you're going to receive some truth. Will you just let it slip, let it drift by, or will you rope it in and pull it into the shore and say, I'm going to hold fast to this truth? We ought to give the more earnest heed to the truth. You know, the reality is, just because truth is in our range, it doesn't mean that we've got it, all right? Because the ship can be in your range, okay? It's in your vision, it's in your view, it's coming through, but it's going to just drift by. The reality is, many of us feel that because truth is in our range, that we have it. But the reality is, we don't got it. We need to rope it in. We need to give the more earnest heed to the truth. We need to give diligence to make it a part of our lives. Just because it's in our range, it doesn't mean we have it. Brethren, because it's not going to stay in our range for very long. If we don't lay hold of it, it will drift off apart and away from us. So let's not take for granted the truths that we have set before us in the Word of God. Pull in the truth, tie it down, make it a part of your life. You say, Joshua, how on earth am I to do that? Because that's what the Bible teaches us to do. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the truth. Well, how on earth am I to take the truth of God's Word and make it a part of my life, to pull it in, as it were, to anchor it down, to tie it to the harbour so that it doesn't float past my life? Well, you know, I'll give an example here. First, a bit of a testimony. I had experience in my Christian experience. There were many times the truth came to me about certain something in my Christian life. And out of ignorance, I would perhaps just, it was in my range, but I wouldn't lay hold of it and apply it and make it a part of my life. And then it would be there for some time, but just ignore it. And then eventually it would go, and it's almost like, you know, it's there, but it's not so readily there to bring your attention towards it. And then I would realize soon after that I'd be suffering for the very thing that I should have been laying hold of and making a part of my life or been meditating on. And this is something we all have to get our heads around. So how do we do that? Well, first of all, let me introduce you to the Bible subject of meditation. That's where we mull over the Word of God, just like a cow chews the cud and spits it back out and chews it again and spits it back out and chews it again. So we ought to meditate in the Word of God. It actually means to mutter. You know, just to simply, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, to roll it back through the mouth into the ears, roll it back through the mouth into the ears, and we ought to give meditation to the Word of God, not the Hindu meditation where we empty ourselves of nothing and allow anything to come in. No, the meditation of the Word of God is to fill up tank, brethren, to fill up the mind with the truths of God's Word so that all the junk of the world will get out of our minds and that we'll start thinking biblically. So this is biblical meditation. The psalmist said, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I won't forget thy word because I delight myself in thy statutes and I'll meditate in thy precepts. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Joshua said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Meditating in the word day and night, muttering over the word, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, constantly filling your head with the truth of the Word of God, filling ourselves with God's book, so that we can be renewed in the spirit of our minds. That's how first we can do that. And by the way, none of this happens by chance. You understand that? It requires a holy determination to not allow the truth to pass us by. It requires a holy determination to say, I'm not going to miss that boat. I'm not going to miss that ship. I'm not going to let it slip. I'm going to lay hold of it. How's your holy determination for the things of God? Or are we complacent even with our desire to lay hold of the truth of God? We should be hungry and thirsty for righteousness, hungry and thirsty after the truth, not just, oh, you know, I'm so full today, I just don't want any more. We ought to have this diligence, give earnest heed to it. You know, the Bible says that the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How does it do that? Well, you've got to fill up tank, brethren. You're not going to just stumble across it. It's here right in front of you. Meditate therein. You say, what do I meditate in? Let me ask you, what is the truth you're struggling to obey? What's the truth that you're struggling to apply? Is it submission to authority? Is submission to your husband or love towards your wife? Is it a matter of pornography? Is it a matter of lust? Is it a matter of evil thinking or evil speaking or jealousy? You go through this book, you find all the verses you need to help you get right with God and get in the right frame of mind. And God says here, meditate therein. That's how you're going to not allow the truth to pass you by. The man in Psalms 1, the blessed man, the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And the fruit of that is that he's like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. You know what's simply saying? He's never running out of water to feed into that tree. So he's always growing. He's always lush. And as all the other trees are dry, he's still growing and he's still producing fruit and he's still going forward and upward and everything else is around is dry. But what's happening to this guy? Well, he's put his roots down right by the water of God's word and he's meditating in it day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. And there the tree starts to grow. And Christian, do that with the truth of God. Put your roots in the word of God, meditate therein day and night, and watch your spiritual life flourish through the roof. That's what God expects from us with the truth, to meditate upon it. And secondly, we have to trust in it. There is a issue of unbelief in our day, which is happy to consider what God's word has to say, but does not believe what God's word has to say. Can I say God's word is not effective in our lives unless we believe it? Unless we have faith to do it and to practice it, and not only that, to depend upon it. And this is how we are to show that we believe in the word of God. The psalmist said in Psalms 119 verse 42, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. And look what he says here, for I trust in thy word. Do you trust in the word of God? I mean, would you simply say tonight that if this book was to open at any page and God was to clearly show me what he wanted me to do, would I trust that this is the right thing to do? I mean, I'm afraid that today there are Christians that have hearts full of unbelief. Sure, they believe Christ for salvation, but when it comes to sanctification, it seems like it's another story here. Is that truly say that I shouldn't be doing that? Question the word of God, question mark on everything. But that's not the heart of faith. The heart of faith says, well, if God's word said it, that settles it. I'm going to obey it. I'm going to do it because it's going to be good for me. But what about the end result of it? What if the fruit of it doesn't turn out so well? Well, that's up to God. That's God's problem. He'll deal with that. Our duty is to believe his word, to believe in the word of God. He also said, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. He was trusting that the word of God will come to pass. Do you believe that? I mean, we believe it in relation to prophecy. We believe it in relation to salvation. We believe it in relation to many things. But what about to the daily practices of our lives? Do you believe it? Do you believe the word of the Lord? In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, if you want to look there, verse 1 says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left unto us of entering into his rest, any of you seem to come short of it. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So what is he saying here? Why doesn't the word profit people? Why? Why doesn't the word profit people? Well, the word doesn't profit people when it's not mixed with faith in them that hear it. And as you hear the preaching of God's word, we are to respond with hearts of faith if we ever want to see God's word take place in our life and change our lives and bring forth fruit in our lives. Where's the heart of faith? You see, for them, for these people here, they could not respond. They didn't respond to the gospel because they didn't have faith to believe the message. Maybe like, yeah, that's a good message. Yeah, that's true. What about the heart of faith? Because if it's not mixed with faith in them that hear it, it will do nothing for your life. And I'm afraid that's the big problem today we have in Christianity today. I believe the scriptures. That's true. Yep. But we don't believe it. So then we say to somebody, and I've come across many people like this. Oh, well, you know, I believe that God wants me to be in a good Bible-believing church. Okay, that's good. So are you in one? No. Well, why aren't you in one? Well, because it's too far away in my business and this, this, and that. I said, okay, well, here's a Bible verse that says that you ought to be with the brethren, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves. So you need to find a good fellowship. Yeah, I know that's there. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? But my work, yeah, but do you believe that God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory? But you don't understand my family. Do you understand that God will take care of these things? You worry about the sparrows. You know, the sparrows don't worry about what they're going to eat. The lilies of the field have no problem with the clothing. Oh, what are you worried about? You don't think God's going to provide your need? But what's the problem with Christianity today? We have hearts full of unbelief. We're happy to believe the gospel. Sure, we're saved, done. But it's almost like after our faith in Jesus Christ, it's like we turn the faith switch off and get back to we walk by sight, not by faith. And that's what we do. Like, oh, well, it doesn't look so good. Well, hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. It didn't look so good at salvation either. You had to cast your poor soul at the Savior's feet. You had to plunge in today and be made complete. And you were saved by the grace of God. And you didn't know what tomorrow was going to hold. You didn't know how people were going to respond when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You just went in by faith. Well, why not go into the next portion of Scripture by faith? Why not lay hold of the faith in God's Word and trust Him? And trust Him. That's how we can make that truth a part of our lives. Not just simply rope it in. We rope it in by meditating upon it. We rope it into our hearts by believing it. And lastly, we rope it into our hearts and we tie it down by obeying it. This is like the seal of truth. I mean, you can hear the Word of God, you can say, I believe the Word of God, but if you truly have faith in the Word of God, you'll obey the Word of God. You'll obey the Word of God if you truly have faith in it. But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Matthew 7:24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. Are you doing, and doing, and doing the Word of God? That would indicate to me that you believe the Word of God. I believe the Word of God, but I don't do it. Well, faith without works is dead. There's another principle for you. But if we hold fast to the Word of God, we believe the Word of God, we obey the Word of God, we'll find that the truth will become a part of our lives. You know, truth has ever most become a part of my life when I've obeyed the Word of God. That is when it's almost had the seal of truth on it. All the things that I've learned in my life, in the Christian experience, anything that I've applied myself to in obedience, they're the things that stayed with me and stuck with me and have changed my heart. Everything else that I've heard and learned and studied and believed and just let it drift off, they've done nothing to me. Do you know that? Nothing to me. Just maybe giving me a bigger head. But whenever that truth has come and I've roped it in, I've meditated upon it, I've trusted in the Word of God and I've put feet to that truth and I've obeyed the Word of God, I've found that there's been a change in my life. And not only a change, I found that I can believe God's Word more readily next time. And I found myself that I can obey what He says and I know that it's going to be true. My faith is tried and tested and grows more. So next command that comes, Lord, you haven't found me there. I'm going to obey that one. And God always comes through because His Word says it. And Luke chapter 11, verse 27 and 28, it says, and it came to pass as he spake, Jesus spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he, I love this, he says, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. You know what's better than being my mother? You know what's better than being my mother and having, as it were, an earthly relationship to me? That's to hear the word of God, obey the word of God, do the word of God. These are truly my brothers and my sisters. This is truly my mother, Jesus said, and my father. Who are these ones? The ones that obey the word of God. Brethren, are you obeying the word of God? That's when you are giving evidence that you are a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. The question then begs us is, how high do we magnify God's word in our lives? That's what it really comes down to. Because if anything comes past our way that we have interest upon or we love, what do? We get the rope straight out and don't let that one go by. Yeah, don't let that one go by. That's a good deal on a car. Pull it in, rope it in, meditate on it, obey, do everything. Yeah? Oh, that's a good job over there. Meditate on it, make sure we get the right pricing, bring it in, done. Okay, good. That's what we do. What about the truth of God's word? How much do we esteem the word of God? Job said, I esteem thy every part of thy precepts to be right. Job said that I esteem thy word more than my necessary food. That's how Job regarded the word of God. How do you regard the word of God? You know, even the Bible says in Psalm, he talks about, I've magnified my word above my name. God regards his word above his name. Do you even regard God's word above your name? How many of us are scared to even suffer reproach with our names for the word of God's sake? But God's put his word even above his name. What about our name? How high do we regard the word of God? If we regard it highly, when it comes past, we'll say, don't miss that one. Quickly, get the rope out, reel it in, tie it down. We don't want to miss the truth of God's word. Don't let it slip. Don't let it slip. God speaks to you, don't let it slip. God shows you something in his word, don't let it slip. How don't I let it slip? Meditate. Meditate on it so you don't forget it. It becomes a part of your soul and mind. And not only meditate, trust in it, believe it to be true and obey it. And you'll find that it'll be a part of your life. In fact, that you'll be obeying it without even trying to obey it. It just becomes a part of your life and experience and you walking in the way of righteousness. That's what God desires of us. There was a little illustration which I'll close with. Next time you sing, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," I want you to recall the composer, Robert Robinson. And he was converted under the mighty preaching of George Whitefield. But later he drifted from the Lord. And he had been greatly used in the past as a pastor, but neglect of spiritual things led him astray. He didn't take earnest heed to the truth that he was learning and even teaching, and he went astray. And in an attempt to find peace, he began to travel. Here's a preacher that was saved on the ministry of George Whitefield, and he went on to preach and help many people, but now he's going astray, neglecting the truths of God's word, just letting him drift by, and started to be in a carnal state, and obviously not in the ministry. So he started to travel to free himself up, to get out there and maybe get away from God. I don't know what he was thinking. Anyway, during one of his journeys, he met a young woman who was evidently very spiritually minded. And she went up to him and said, "What do you think of this hymn I've been reading?" She asked Robinson, handing him the book, and it was his own hymn. And he tried to avoid her question, but it was hopeless, for the Lord was speaking to him. Finally, he broke down and confessed that he was, who he was. He told the lady who he was and how he has been living away from the Lord and hasn't been walking with God and hasn't been living right. And I was just wondering, when he gave him that hymn book, I wonder if his eyes went to, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind thy wandering heart, and bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it for thy courts above." I wonder if that's what came through his mind. What happened to this man? Well, he let the truth just slip by, and didn't give earnest heed to the things which God was showing and teaching him in his life. And praying God for his mercy to send a spiritually minded woman just to come, led by the Spirit of God, and say, "This is a good hymn." Well, it was his one. I'm sure the Lord just got a hold of his heart that day. Praise God for that. Maybe the Lord's trying to get a hold of our hearts this night to not let the truth pass us by. Let's pray.